This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Hey guys, welcome. Welcome to the Young Turks. Cenk is out today.
Hello.
And I'm super stoked because John will be filling in for him during hour one. In a way, you're kind of filling in for me as well because you are leading the first hour of the show.
So you're filling in for Cenk, really, and I'm filling in for you.
Cenk,
who's filling in for me?
Cenk doesn't lead the show anymore. I lead the show.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm filling in for you. You're just sitting there like he does. So
oh, that's right. That's right. I'm going to play the role of Cenk today. And
wait until it gets back to him that I said he just sits there.
No, he doesn't just, to be fair, he doesn't just sit. He's a CEO of the company.
Yes.
So he's got
so he sits all
big
over the place
to do.
So we have got so many great stories to talk about.
Yes.
We're starting off the bat talking about one of the efforts being led in Congress right now to end our involvement in the war in Yemen. But we've got a lot of other stuff. CNN's lawsuit against the White House has an unlikely media ally. I was very surprised to see this. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez finds that, and this is sort of across 2 hours, some in Fox can't help but agree with her, and others can't help but be obsessed with her.
Yeah, but not in a good way.
No.
In a creepy way.
In a very creepy way.
Right.
So we'll have that for you as well. Let's see. Oh, I mean, we're going to close out the first hour. It's going to be a little bit weird. A tech development that I have been looking forward to like my entire life, and now that it's coming, I'm scared.
Look,
so we'll talk about that at the close of the first hour.
Let me also just give you a little more to that teaser. I can't wait till we get to that story because I'm gonna pick on you.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm already anxious and now it's about to get worse. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, well with that, why don't we jump into the news?
Let's do it.
Republicans are resorting to extremely questionable legislative measures to block a Democrat's bill that would end all U.S. support for Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen. This is Representative Ro Khanna, who you've probably heard about. He's pretty awesome. So he was backed by top Democrats and introduced the War Powers Resolution back in September. It has sort of been waiting to be taken seriously since then. Because the resolution invoked the War Powers Act, I believe of 1963, it was privileged, meaning Democrats could theoretically have forced a vote on it. So traditionally, because they are in the minority up until we switch over in the near future, they have effectively no power whatsoever in Congress. But in this particular case, because it invoked the War Powers Act, it was something that theoretically the Republicans would actually have to go on the record for. But they have found a tricky-pizzicky way to not have to do that. On Tuesday night, the House Rules Committee, led by the Republicans, adopted in a 6-2 vote on party lines a rule for floor debate for an unrelated bill that I believe has to do with the management of wolves, and that includes a provision stripping Khanna's resolution of its privileged status. That is, I guess, sort of the legislative equivalent of something a wolf might do, but that is as close as it comes to having to do with wolf management. But they are trying to make it so that their members don't have to ever go on the record as continuing to support the war against Yemen led by Saudi Arabia.
I mean, they're on the record. I mean, this action puts them on the record. Sure, this was a tricky way of not having to deal with the resolution proposed by Ro Khanna, but they are in a way dealing with the resolution proposed by Ro Khanna. I mean, it's very clear what they want to do, and their leader, Donald Trump, has made it very clear that he wants to continue working with the Saudis, even though there is evidence indicating that the Saudi royal prince went after a journalist who was living here in the United States, writing for the Washington Post. They murdered him and dismembered his body. And Trump did not care because what was more important to him was the type of business relationship that we have with Saudi Arabia, the types of weapons that we're able to sell to them. That's what matters. But what I just don't understand is why Republicans in Congress at this very moment think that we should spend our resources aiding and abetting genocide in Yemen.
I think that they see the partnership with Saudi Arabia as useful, not specifically necessarily in regards to Yemen, but in future conflicts, especially against Iran. And this is one of those things where it's damn the morality. You know, we believe this will help us in the future.
But just for anyone who would make that argument, and I do agree with you that that's what Republicans are thinking. They're thinking ahead. They're thinking about how they can utilize their relationship with Saudi Arabia. But just consider the fact that we have no reason to go to war with Iran, period. Mm-hmm. The only reason why we would go to war with Iran is if our politicians are persuaded, and it appears that some of them are, by Israel that we need to get involved in their conflict and go after Iran. Iran had a nuclear deal, you know, that the United States had signed on to under the Obama administration that had, you know, checks to ensure that they weren't developing their nuclear weapons. And Trump came in and scrapped it. He pulled out of it. So there was really no reason for us to escalate any type of conflict with Iran, but the Trump administration has pushed for it. Republicans have been pushing for it. And at the end of the day, it appears that Benjamin Netanyahu gets to decide what US taxpayers spend their precious resources on.
Yeah.
And that's what infuriates me the most.
Yeah, and for the hawks, you know, here in the US, it's a great medium to long-term strategy. If you do want a war with Iran, you don't want a continuation of a treaty that stops them from having the nuclear weapons that could be used as a pretext to start that war. You scrap that, they eventually start to develop the weapons. You then announce, oh my God, they're making the weapons. We have got to go in and stop them, and there is your pretext for war. It may take a few years, but they have certainly set that up. And so if they are allowed to continue in power, expect that that is a strategy that will play out eventually. Now, one of the reasons I think that they tried to stop the measure in the way that they did is it's designed to minimize the chance that the media will actually cover it. And for the most part, that is what would have happened. Now, thankfully, in this case, there's TYT. Also, I will give credit to The Hill for writing it up. Although The Hill also published what I consider to be one of the most condescending op-eds attacking Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez today. They say it's not their opinion, but there's like multiple articles in one day attacking her, which seems a bit weird. That's not a coincidence.
Yeah.
But anyway, they did write this up, and that's good. And so I also want to give Ro Khanna a chance to respond, which he did on Twitter, saying the Republicans tomorrow are trying to bury my Yemen War Powers Resolution in a rule that would prevent an up or down vote. This is unprecedented and would undermine the very purpose of the War Powers Act. Anyone who cares about Article 1 of the Constitution should be outraged. And I mean, look, if you want to have a nerdy weekend, take a look at the history of the creation of the War Powers Act and how it's actually been invoked since then. And it is interesting that in many cases historically over the past half century, Congress has tried to reassert its influence in terms of foreign policy, in terms of, you know, starting a conflict. It is rare that they so willingly abdicate that. And even in this case, where some Republicans want you to think that they oppose this conflict in Yemen, they don't want to actually have to say anything. They don't want to be on the record. And so they scrap things like this that Ro Khanna is leading. And, you know, there's some good senators on the Democratic side as well when it comes to this. And that's what you get. Now, in terms of our actual involvement, there have been updates. On Friday night, I believe of last week, the Trump administration announced that the U.S. military would no longer provide aerial refueling for Saudi coalition planes. The Pentagon and Riyadh framed the announcement as a Saudi decision, saying they now have the capability to refuel their own planes. It is possible that that's the actual explanation, that they don't need us anymore, which means that I don't think we should get much credit for not doing it if the only reason we're not doing it is that they don't need it. But it's also possible that that was one of the most criticized ways that we have been involved in this conflict.
Yeah, and just know that we've been involved in multiple ways. So helping them with fuel was one way, and maybe that got the most attention, which I find absurd.
It's the most visible way. It's literally our planes.
That's true. It's the most tangible thing that you can point to. But I would argue that one of the more important components of our assistance in this genocide in Yemen is what we're providing in terms of intelligence, what we're providing in terms
logistics,
of weaponry.
Intelligence, the arms sales that we've already done, the arms sales that we will do.
Right.
So to some extent, you know, saying, hey, we're not doing the refueling. Like, if you're worried about Yemen, we're totally backed off. Don't even worry about it anymore, except of all the ways that we did. And we also will continue to provide diplomatic cover in the UN and in these other organizations for Saudi Arabia. We're not going to actually put pressure on them to stop it. We're just going to slightly take our finger off the trigger a little bit.
Barely.
While you're still looking.
Barely, exactly, while we're still looking. And I want to thank everyone who's watching and supporting this show, because we are, as far as I've seen, one of the only broadcasts that have actually covered this, who have actually cared to look into what's going into Yemen. And we wouldn't be able to do it without your support, so thank you for that. But more importantly, understand what happened with Khashoggi, the Washington Post journalist who was murdered by the Saudis. After that, after the story just kind of faded away, because of course the news cycle is just constantly being pumped with crazy news, no one's paying attention anymore. There was no consequence for that. Mm-hmm. There were no consequences for the Saudis.
I agree.
People just stopped paying attention. And that sets a very, very dangerous precedent moving forward. Mm-hmm. That means that as long as, you know, a murder is carried out by our so-called allies, then our president can easily just brush it under the rug and do absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah.
It's scary.
I mean, if you are MBS and you have a chance in the future where a situation where you can kill someone or not kill someone, has this situation lowered the chance that you'll do it?
Of course.
Certainly not. And look, it's one thing for him to feel freed up to do this sort of thing. He's a guy who, for all of the effort that's been done by the Western media to make him seem like some sort of moderate, he is an extremist and he's a violent extremist. It's not just him, it's other dictators as well. I mean, Duterte is definitely watching this and thinking, well, you know, I've got some pesky newspapers in my area as well. Like Vladimir Putin, he constantly poisons people to begin with. He is certainly going to feel freed up as well. I mean, the combination of the no consequences effectively for the Skripal poisonings, you know, not to mention the killing of the journalists and the domestic political dissidents in Russia, but certainly now, we have made clear that if we have any sort of deals with you, if we have or want some sort of alliance with you, you know, we don't want to risk any of that by actually pushing for our values abroad.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's just we're living in dark times, really. And I'm scared for people out there who want to do real journalism. I mean, we've already seen, you know, the type of consequences people have in the United States if they dare to challenge Trump during one of his press conferences. Mm-hmm. But we have multiple situations now in which journalists have been targeted and murdered, and nothing has been done. Nothing has been done to make those people pay the consequences for their actions. Nothing's been done to protect journalists in the future.
Yeah, the bombing in Europe as well. I mean, people looking into corruption. If you're in a corrupt society and you are doing actual investigative journalism, that is perhaps one of the bravest things you could be doing right now.
Absolutely.
Considering the willingness to kill journalists. Look at the numbers. With that said, we are going to take our first break. When we come back, our own domestic war against journalism. The epicenter right now is DC, and we will give you an update on the strike back against that after this. Welcome back to the Young Turks, everybody, Anna Kasparian and myself, Johnny Rowland. Did you know that Thanksgiving is coming up? And after Thanksgiving, pretty much right after it, Black Friday. Don't take part in Black Friday actually in person, because it leads to people being trampled and killed, and it's absolutely awful. But online, it can be a lot of fun, and you can actually take part in it here at TYT with our 10 Days of Black Friday. You don't even have to wait. You can take 15% off everything using code.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic. Or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be. Featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity, the UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Flash kickoff. And if you're a member, go to tyt.com/notice for 25% off everything. Act fast, because these sales last for 24 hours. So again, everybody gets a deal. Members get an even better deal. If you want to qualify for that, I would go to tyt.com/John. I thought you would strike back against me.
No, I know.
Here's the thing. So Anna, I believe, is still kicking everyone's butt. She's doing great in the thing. I think at this point, you should mercy rule it. Don't try to kill everyone. The important thing is that both me and you beat Cenk, I think.
I agree. But of course I wanna win.
No, you're gonna win. You're like doubling everybody.
I just feel like it's the year of the woman.
Oh my God. Okay, well the woman's already winning. She's doing just fine. Think of the men, people.
Or as my dad would say, the year of the womans.
The womans. Okay, well, it should also be the year of this man, tyt.com/John. Support the Young Turks by supporting these Young Turks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I don't know how young we really are.
I don't know, I'm getting so old. Oh my God, my body's falling apart. Okay, with that, why don't we read some of the members' comments? A lot of comments about our recent story on Yemen. Madness says, to be fair, Trump is a US president, and US presidents, no matter the party, support Saudi for imperial reasons, same reason they will always support Israel.
You're absolutely right about that.
Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Ganas says, this administration told us very early on via Tillerson's first speech to the State Department that the US would no longer consider human rights and countries' records when deciding our relationships with them. That is true as well. We have a TYT Live, let's see. Anam Liath says, Trump is not as interested in the USA advantage in Saudi's relationship. Trump is interested in his business interests in Saudi.
That's exactly right.
And that is true. I mean, look, honestly, while there were no consequences for them dismembering this journalist, at least people did focus once again on his insane conflicts of interest, specifically having to do with Saudi Arabia there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we have a breaking news story, and I want to give you this information for what it's worth. In a breaking news story, Michael Avenatti, the attorney for Stormy Daniels, has been arrested for domestic violence, alleged domestic violence, and he is currently in police custody. Now, by the time most people see this video, he could have posted bail. Mm-hmm. Probably not in police custody anymore, but he was in police custody. And it's all in regard to a confrontation he had with his estranged wife, a woman that he's been married with since 2011. He filed for divorce last year in 2017. Now, TMZ broke this story and BuzzFeed looked into it and found that he was indeed in police custody. TMZ reported that a woman ran out of the apartment building that he lives in and was on the sidewalk on her cell phone with glasses covering her eyes, screaming on the phone, I can't believe you did this to me. Also, TMZ said that they were told that security brought her inside the building. And at that point, Michael Avenatti showed up 5 minutes later, ran into the building chasing after her and screamed, she hit me first. And a law enforcement source told TMZ that Avenatti, quote, kicked her out of the apartment, and that's presumably when the alleged domestic violence occurred. We're told that she went back to the apartment to retrieve her belongings and called the police to stand by in case things got heated again. Now, we don't know the full story. We don't know what actually occurred. What we do know is that he did, in fact, get arrested on possible domestic violence charges. And he was in police custody.
Well, in this situation, if they're saying that he was yelling these things publicly, there will have been people around who can corroborate it, possibly cameras as well. If this is in an apartment building, it's possible that it was caught on camera. Not the actual attack, if that's inside of his apartment. But if he's yelling, she hit me first, that implies that she wasn't the only one who hit, and if that was in public, then there will have been witnesses.
TMZ is also alleging that her face was swollen and bruised. Mm-hmm. So again, this story just broke. We don't know all the details, but right now it doesn't look good. And I hope that they fully investigate this, authorities fully investigate this and get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, and from what we know, it seems like they'll be able to. I mean, obviously, like the I guess the knee-jerk thing is that when it's a super high-profile person and a critic of a politician, you question the motivation. But this is not stuff that supposedly all happened behind closed doors. We can never figure out what actually happened.
Right.
This is in public. We can actually figure out what happened. And so it certainly doesn't look good for him.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah. Okay, other news until we have more details. CNN is involved in a lawsuit against the White House right now, alleging that the recent suspension of Jim Acosta, their reporter, his press pass violates the First and Fifth Amendments. Since then, a number of media organizations, basically all of the big ones, have signed on filing friendly amicus briefs in that lawsuit. I believe the hearing is actually today, so it's proceeding relatively quickly. But they also have another supporter that you might not expect, and that is actually Fox News. So Fox News President Jay Wallace said in a statement that while the network doesn't condone the growing antagonistic tone by both the president and the press, just calling it even, it's the same, they're both bad. It does, however, support a free press, access, and open exchanges for the American people. Wallace also said Fox would file a brief in support of CNN's suit in federal court in Washington. So they are taking part in that as well. Another statement by Fox News was put out saying, Fox News supports CNN in its legal effort to regain its White House reporter's press credential. Secret Service passes for White House journalists should never be weaponized. So I would not have expected Fox News would actually do this. They have been obviously very staunch supporters of Donald Trump. So at least right now, kudos to Fox News.
I think it's the right thing to do because at the end of the day, we're all in the same line of work. Mm-hmm. And having the ability to hold someone in a position of power accountable for their actions, having the ability to question authority is important in this line of work. Mm-hmm. And if you decide to set a dangerous precedent simply based on your partisan leanings, mm-hmm. then it sets a dangerous tone for journalism in the future.
Yeah.
Now, this has, in my opinion, even though Acosta is in the middle of all of this, this isn't about Acosta. Mm-hmm. This is about freedom of the press. It's about ensuring that we have a leader who actually acknowledges and supports our constitutional rights, especially the First Amendment, so we can practice our First Amendment rights, our free speech, freedom of the press. Trump has shown on multiple occasions, not just in this instance, that he does not really care about what the Constitution says. He doesn't believe in our Constitution. He doesn't believe in our democratic process. And that is a dangerous, slippery slope to be complicit in. And yeah. So I think Fox did do the right thing here. I'm glad that they're supportive of the CNN lawsuit. We'll see how this moves forward. But I do believe that CNN has.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
As a good case here, and I'm curious to see how this all goes because the judge who will be hearing this case is a Trump appointee.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, although when talking about this case, someone in the White House really waffled on whether they think the White House thinks it can win it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So he obviously is just vigorously opposed to the First Amendment and the rest of them too, but he hasn't read all of them. He does like the first one though, he got through that. And the problem isn't just that he is willing to strip away those rights. And again, the First Amendment has been stretched to mean a lot of different things that have nothing to do with government exercise of power. This is the most clear possible case. This is the government saying, no, this particular reporter who we have a beef with isn't given access anymore. And it's not just that he is opposed to it. He's leading a movement that's opposed to it, which you will see in just a little bit. But before that, I do want to give you a little bit of what Fox News has been saying about this on their airwaves. Howard Kurtz was talking about it recently.
I think this suit is more of a PR effort than a legal one. I don't know if we're going to get a profound ruling out of this because it casts CNN and its president, Jeff Zucker, as kind of champions of the free press. And this is why I think the White House stripping the credentials was a strategic error because it took the spotlight off of Acosta constantly interrupting, refusing to give up the microphone in that incident last week and turned him into something of a journalistic martyr. And it's caused a lot of people in the news business who may not necessarily like or approve of Jim Acosta's behavior to try to back what CNN did. That's why Acosta is a divisive figure, even among some of his White House colleagues.
Okay, so there, Howard Kurtz is sort of saying, I mean, he's sort of spinning it, basically.
Right.
And so that's, if you're watching Fox News, that's what you're hearing about this. But they also have signed on to the suit. So how are Fox fans responding to this? Not well, actually. Let's jump ahead to some of these tweets. There were responses to the statement by Fox News. Fox News, you are dead to me, says proud nationalist Teresa. So that's a true believer there. Let's see. Fox is moving more liberal because the owner's liberal sons are running it now. I'm starting to watch One America News more, a place where I will be very, very safe from ever having to question any of my beliefs. Jordan D said, the time has come to find a new voice for Republicans. Fox News has lost its focus. If I want to hear CNN, I know where to find them. And the rest of the left-wing liberal biased media, say it ain't so, Fox.
You know, it's amazing because if you have a conversation with conservatives in America, many of them will refer to themselves as constitutionalists. Mm-hmm. They will. They will say, no, it's not about right versus left, conservative versus liberal. I'm a constitutionalist.
They mean the Constitution pre-amendment.
They're not.
There's one more. I just want to give credit because this one is actually kind of funny. MAGA Covfefe Trumplican says, OAN, here I come. Bye-bye, Foxlicia. That's kind of funny.
Clever.
Kind of funny. Very good. OAN is One America News. It's like Fox News, but with even less of a commitment to journalistic ethics. Fox is, for all of the other things it is, state media and all that, it is still media. And so they don't want to set a precedent where presidents can just strip people of their press credentials because, what goes around with Jim Acosta could come back around to Bret Baier. And so they don't want that. But their fans won't even stand up for Fox in the future because it looks like they're going against Donald Trump. And above all else, you are not allowed to do this. Fox appears to have forgotten this is a cult of personality. They will support you because you support the cult. But if you go against the cult, you are dead to them. They will go to OAN or wherever.
This is not about protecting so-called liberal journalists. This is all about protecting yourself moving forward in the future. And it's a smart move for Fox. Mm-hmm. I remember during the Obama administration when the Edward Snowden whistleblowing happened and we found out about the NSA indiscriminately spying on pretty much all of us. The argument in regard to people on the left, and I thought this was a great argument, people on the left who wanted to support Obama and make excuses for why this was happening with his NSA, was, hey, look, if you are okay with Obama doing this because you trust him and you're a Democrat, that's all fine. But we're not gonna have a Democrat leading the country for eternity. Mm-hmm. So if you set this standard now under a Democrat, what's gonna happen if you have a Republican, someone like Trump, and you give Obama a pass to spy? You don't want Trump doing the same thing, right? Yeah. And of course, at that time, we had no idea that Trump would be the president. But it was a sound argument. And I think the same argument can be made right now. If you are part of the conservative media and you think it's okay for a Republican president to revoke press credentials simply because that journalist is, asking him a question he doesn't like, well, what's gonna happen when a Democrat's in power? Mm-hmm. Fox is not gonna wanna get their credentials revoked. So I think that's what this is really about for Fox. This is not about standing up for Jim Acosta. They're not the good guys, but they're looking out for themselves in the future.
They're not the worst guys right now.
They're not the worst guys.
Tomorrow, they'll be the worst guys.
They're not the worst when it comes to this very specific situation.
Yeah, and so I read a lot of the responses from people who are super critical of Fox for doing this. And just Trump supporters that are like, yeah, Jim Acosta was rude. The Constitution doesn't say anything about, they have all these rights, except if they're rude one day.
Do they think muckraking journalists are polite? Do you think muckraking is a polite thing?
Yeah.
No, muckraking by its very nature is investigating wrongdoings by elected officials and by corporations and businesses and delivering the truth to the people. That's what muckraking is. Muckraking is not, okay, you must break important news stories, but do so very politely toward
Show
people
respect.
In positions of power. Yeah. Get out of here, come on.
Yeah, no, his movement, man, it is the same as anywhere in the world, the strong man and the people who think that he can do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to cede all control to him. They don't care what he does. If he says that Jim Acosta was rude, I don't care. Show me a sped up video to support it, okay? That's all I need to turn off my brain and accept that the First Amendment is one of those that we don't need anymore. Anyway, okay, but again, I agree with you. Fox News might be doing it for selfish reasons, but this is one case where all media should be unified in saying this is a horrible precedent. We're not going to allow it. You can't have it in the future if President Bernie Sanders happens. He can't be stripping people on an individual basis of their press credentials. Obviously, there's a question of who gets in there in the first place. I can't just walk in there if I want. They have some standards, I guess. But you can't be stripping it based on not liking the guy.
Right. Well, the only, and we didn't know this, to be fair, until yesterday while researching for the story. But if you get denied a press credential, you can fight it. Because really, the only thing that the government, the White House, can use against you in order to prevent you from getting that credential is if you serve as some sort of threat to the president, physical harm or physical threat to the president.
Did you see him karate chop that intern? That's scary. Scary stuff. Anyway.
Just in case that didn't actually happen.
It didn't actually happen. Okay. It was actually faked. And screw all the media that tried to convince you that it wasn't faked. I mean, you can see the videos side by side at the same time. They don't go at the same rate. There's not compression problems. It has changed the timing of the video in very selective parts.
Right.
That was a pretty pathetic moment for some in media. Anyway, let's move on to some economic news. In response to a fairly widespread criticism of Amazon's announcement of where their two upcoming additional headquarters will be put, Fox News' Tucker Carlson found himself siding with an unexpected ally, as you'll see.
Well, new Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez had this to say today, quote, Amazon is a billion-dollar company. The idea that it will receive hundreds of millions of dollars in tax breaks at a time when our subway is crumbling and our communities need more investment, not less, is extremely concerning to residents here. Hate to admit it, but Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a very good point.
Oh, damn, she's won over Tucker. And she did have a great point.
Okay, first of all, of course she had a great point. And, you know, we haven't talked about this whole stunt with Amazon much on the main show, and we'll get to that in just a second. But understand that Tucker Carlson is not the good guy. He's got
But he just agreed with her.
No, he agreed with her, but he agreed with her for the wrong reasons, and I'll explain that in a second. It seems like you want to say something really quickly.
Yeah, no, I get it. No, he's a white nationalist. He spreads lies about white genocide and stuff like that.
Great. But no, it goes beyond that. So with Tucker Carlson, I mean, he can't just out of nowhere start attacking corporations as if he's been like a real fighter for the working class and the middle class in America. Mm-hmm. No, he is the typical pick yourself up by the bootstraps, stop crying. I don't want to hear about wealth inequality. I don't want to hear about income inequality. People just want handouts and entitlements kind of guy. That's who Tucker Carlson is. Mm-hmm. The only reason why he has gone after Amazon, and aggressively so, is because he thinks of Amazon as this liberal Silicon Valley organization and nothing more. That's really why he keeps attacking them. He had done a segment on Amazon previously. I talked about it on my show, No Filter, which you guys should check out, Apple Podcasts. And he kept mentioning liberal, 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 liberal. Yeah. First of all, these executives at Silicon Valley are not really liberal. When it comes to fiscal policy, when it comes to most issues, they're not liberal. Sure, they might be socially liberal, but when it comes to the real problems in America, they don't want to solve those problems. Jeff Bezos does not want to solve those problems. He loves income and wealth inequality. He's benefited from it. He's exploited it. So again, Tucker Carlson is not concerned about the heart of this matter. Mm-hmm. He's more concerned about the identity politics behind it.
Yes, my hope is that if he does start to talk about this, thanks to people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, he will prime his viewers to, in the future, think about, hey, yeah, isn't it kind of weird that we give billions of dollars to literally the biggest corporation in the history of the world?
I should hope
That's
so.
That's my hope. That's my hope. But so he gave credit to her for what she expressed in that tweet. We have other things that she said. She goes in depth into why this is unlikely, the fact that one of these new headquarters will be put in her district, why it's unlikely to actually help. You can follow her on Twitter. She goes in depth into the different ways that it's just going to force out the people that are living there right now. It's going to massively gentrify. They're going to build luxury condos, which is great for people who can afford them, not so great for the people that live there now. She goes super in depth. You should follow her. But I want to talk about what was actually given to Amazon to go into the locations where they did.
Yes.
So New York has promised Amazon $1.525 billion in incentives, including $1.2 billion over the next 10 years as part of the state's Excelsior tax credit. The state also pledged to help Amazon with infrastructure upgrades, job training programs, and even assistance securing access to a helipad, none of which came with a price tag. Yes. New York taxpayers are subsidizing a billionaire's helipad. It's like a plot out of like a Batman comic. But they're doing that. They have just shoveled so much money for every one of those jobs. They say 25,000 jobs are coming. Theoretically, that might be true. But as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez pointed out on Twitter, who knows if those are going to be jobs for the people there, if they're going to be shipping people over to work there. They're going to be paying a gigantic sum of money for those jobs.
There are so many parts of this to tackle, but the part that stands out to me the most is what this means for housing prices in the area. I mean, it's one thing for Amazon to make a decision to have its second headquarters. This is the second headquarters, right?
It's HQ. So it was going to be the second headquarters, but now it's two headquarters simultaneously being built in addition. Yes.
Exactly. Okay, so it would have made much more sense. Because remember, the selling point for local lawmakers was, well, they're going to offer six-figure jobs. Like, people are going to get paid $100,000. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of money. But it's not a lot of money in the DC area. It's not a lot of money in New York City. Mm-hmm. And it is going to increase property values in those areas. And for those who own property in those areas, I'm sure that's great. But for people who are currently renting, people who are already having a difficult time affording housing in those areas, it's going to become impossible at this point. So that's one of the biggest issues. And these little tax goodies for a company that's already so incredibly profitable. Mm. I mean, the richest man is the head of Amazon. I don't understand why it is that taxpayers need to subsidize businesses and corporations that are already tremendously profitable. What about actually doing the right thing and subsidizing small businesses? Mm. You know, oftentimes when we have conversations about wages and how we need to increase the minimum wage, small businesses are usually against it because they will suffer under that type of policy. Because a lot of those businesses can't afford to increase the minimum wage for their workers. And I know that through talking to small business owners here in Los Angeles. So a solution to that is to help subsidize those businesses, not help subsidize profitable corporations like Amazon.
Yeah, or you have the infrastructure in the area or education in the area or all of those other issues. Like, The strike back against what we're saying right now seems easy for some of the right. Why are you guys against jobs? As if that is the only thing that's important. This is a huge, huge quantity of money. There is an opportunity cost to that. It's literally an opportunity cost of $1.525 billion. Think of all of the things that that could do to fix, you know, the subway system and all of that, let alone all of the other things. And so you don't just get these jobs and lose nothing. You lose quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And thankfully now we have politicians who are pointing that out. Now, with that said, I want to give you some other information. So we've talked about what New York gave to Amazon to get this new headquarters. But what some other places were willing to give who did not get the headquarters is now available. And some of these offers are absolutely ridiculous. So I want to run through a few. First, a couple that did not get into the top 20, like the final list. Tucson, Arizona sent a giant cactus to Amazon, while the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri said he bought 1,000 items on Amazon and left reviews with details about the city on each product.
This is pathetic.
Hey, at least it's not $1 billion. That's good. You want to hear some other big figures and insane things?
Sure.
Some of these, I don't even know how they're legal, but Atlanta's mayor Kasim Reed said the city would offer incentives and development that would be worth more than $1 billion, which would actually have been lower than New York. In Stonecrest, a Georgia city about 20 miles east of Atlanta, the mayor offered to rename it Amazon and instate Jeff Bezos as the permanent mayor, which is like something out of a dystopian cyberpunk novel. Let's see. We've also got Columbus, Ohio offered Amazon tax breaks for 15 years, including 100% property tax abatement and a 35% income tax refund. Those offers would save Amazon millions in taxes for more than a decade. When we say millions, we mean many, many, many millions. Boston, by the way, perhaps has my favorite. So they said they're going to have a permanent squad of people who the city pays for and trains who just go into Boston's government and advocate for Amazon. Even after they have the headquarters, they would have effectively state paid for lobbyists for one corporation. I don't know how that would have actually worked. I don't know if that's even constitutional, but that is what they're willing to do. It is like corruption, except the person doing the corruption has never heard of corruption or the fact that technically you're not supposed to do it. So it's just totally out in the open. Now, none of these places end up getting it. It's, you know, Crystal City and part of Queens, the Long Island city. But all over the country, these local politicians were fighting over themselves to get those jobs, perhaps not understanding all of the costs that would come with them.
Elected officials have been chosen by their constituents to be leaders. And you are not a leader if you are sucking up to a corporate executive. You are a leader if you find creative ways to help local small businesses in your area. That also creates jobs. Mm-hmm. What Amazon does, and look, I have used Amazon in the past, you know, no hate toward Amazon, but Amazon does not help small businesses. It does the exact opposite. It destroys small businesses mm-hmm. in the areas, especially, you know, in the areas where it's gonna be headquartered. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, if I were a local official, if I were elected by my constituents to represent them in their best interests, I'd be like, you know what, no. People living in my municipality, they're paying taxes. Mm. The small businesses in my municipality, they're paying taxes. So if you wanna come here, you gotta pay your taxes. If you don't like that, that's fine. But if I'm gonna subsidize anything, yeah. I'm gonna help subsidize education. I'm gonna help subsidize local businesses. I'm gonna look out for the people in my area because that's what they voted for me to do.
Yeah.
Like you can keep your jobs. Especially, I mean, come on, New York, $100,000 job in New York. Like that's a lot of money depending on where you live. If you live in a small town somewhere, $100,000 is a lot. You live in Los Angeles, $100,000 will get you by. Mm-hmm. But in a place like New York, $100,000 is not going to help.
Well, and I want to turn to, some people might be watching this and think, well, you guys are just criticizing. You're not providing any solutions. What were they supposed to do? Okay, so.
I just gave solutions.
Well, and I have an additional one. Yeah. So if, let's see, if Atlanta wanted to give $1 billion, well, then New York had to offer more than $1 billion. This is a bidding war. They offered $1.5 billion. That's what it took to actually get the jobs. But that is not actually the case when you look into it. $1.5 billion is not the most that was offered. It's not even close to the most that was offered. I checked to make sure, but I believe it was New Jersey offered more than $8 billion. It is very close to New York, and it was offering far, far more money. So if it was actually the money that was driving Amazon to choose these places, why didn't they go across the pond, or across the river, I guess, to New Jersey? It wasn't the money. For whatever other reason, and honestly, I don't know, they did actually want to go to New York, which means that in the end, despite this massive Willy Wonka contest, it wasn't Amazon that held all the cards. Certain locales actually had some pull, and they could have used it, not to get Amazon, but to get Amazon under certain criteria.
Bingo.
Saying, you will hire a certain number of your workers from our area. You will provide housing or whatever. You will do these things that are necessary to make sure that this move doesn't just benefit Amazon, and it doesn't just benefit technically New York, it benefits the people of New York. They could have done that, the numbers bear it out, they chose not to. Anywho, thank you AOC for making sure that we're talking about this. And Chris Tucker, briefly, although I hate you. Anyway, with that said, why don't we go to another break?
Yeah, we need to take another break.
Lots more news to get to. So a DC area man, he's arrested for gun charges, but that arrest might have actually warded off other acts of violence related to the Tree of Life synagogue shooting, as we'll describe after this.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Just to be clear, I meant Tucker Carlson, not Chris Tucker. I don't know why I get those names mixed up. I understand that there are some significant differences between those two individuals.
Pretty significant.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's ExpressVPN.com/TYT. Check it out today.
Significant. Yeah. So I meant the Tucker one. Yeah. The Carlson one. Okay. With that said, I want to read some of your comments. I saw Gabby Morita noted, Tucker Carlson is the only commentator on Fox News who can correctly pronounce Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's name. Huh. Did not see that coming.
Well, he's actually from San Diego, California. So I'm guessing that might have some role in how he pronounces her name. I don't
maybe
know.
Yeah. Are you doing that montage in the second hour of Fox
We're
News?
We're not, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Because there, so if you follow Parker Malloy on Twitter, she did a montage of all the times in one day they said AOC's name on Fox News and Fox Business. And Stuart Varney, he pronounces it, like he messes it up from time to time, but he puts so much pizzazz into her name. You got to go to that tweet and take a look at that. Onakazi says, Anna giving the Trump supporters too much credit and thinking they know what a muckraker is. Potentially, that might
be
true.
Yeah, it just means real investigative journalists. Like muckrakers, raking through the muck, thank you, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was actually what inspired me to get involved in this line of work, although I am not a muckraker, I just talk about what muckrakers do.
Yeah.
And share my own little analysis.
The closest I get to being a muckraker is I do eat food that muckrakers should investigate. But that's about it, actually.
A lot of
it's
them
a jungle
do,
out
actually.
There. I know.
It wouldn't stop you from eating your Pop-Tarts.
It would. No, those are fine.
Pop-Tarts.
You're always safe if you eat something 100% artificial. Tenen Kosol tweeted in, Trump supporters don't have first principles. They don't comprehend precedents and how they affect everybody, including themselves. That's the nice thing about being in a cult. You aren't burdened with having to think independently. All the thinking has been done for you. And that is true. The problem is that when people are in a cult, they can't tell. That's one of the best things about cults. People are blind to them. But anyway, by the way, if any of you out there have a business or a brand, you probably want an online presence. And to do that, you're going to need a website. But it turns out that a lot of people that run these things don't necessarily want to go to the trouble of learning how to make their own website. It's super difficult. I used to do it back in high school. And there are great tools now that can make it way easier. Squarespace is one of those. We have previously promoted Squarespace because people here at TYT have themselves made either businesses to sell things on Squarespace or websites. I have done that myself, actually. They have pre-made award-winning templates that can make you look at make the website look exactly as you want. Squarespace.com/TYT is a place that you can go for more information on that. And with that said, why don't we jump to some more news? Fox News has mostly moved on from talking about the caravan after the election, and a lot of people have noted how political that coverage and then lack thereof actually has been. Perhaps as a result of that criticism, Fox and Friends actually returned to the topic very briefly today, although their attempt to fearmonger over the caravan has become even more laughable since the election, as you'll see.
356 migrants from that caravan arrived in Tijuana via 9 different buses, and then they immediately, a number of them, as you can see right there, climbed up on top of that bollard wall. A couple of them did drop over the United States side until the Border Patrol started moving toward them, and then they jumped back over onto the Mexican side.
Yeah.
About if you look at those handful of people and say, what's the big deal? Keep in mind, behind them, they estimated a total of about 11,500 are coming. And guess what? If you look at the totals, about 5 million, when asked, in Honduras, Ecuador, as well as Guatemala, they want to come here.
There were 9 buses that arrived yesterday, and apparently 200 more migrants are apparently hours away from being in Tijuana, Mexico.
Did they just mix up El Salvador with Ecuador?
That is possible. I think that they can rely on their fans to not know the difference either. It's like me with Chris Tucker and Tucker Carlson.
But you know what? Thank God that wall was there, because is able to penetrate that wall, right? I mean, that. I hope we build more of it.
If it was 2 feet higher, they would have failed before
they
hands up.
They would have failed, yeah.
Nobody's got the upper body strength. So this is the amazing thing. I don't know if you know. We don't generally do IFBs here. Sometimes we do. But when you have that, the control room can talk to you. And so if you make a mistake or something, they can fix it. I believe that that's what's going on here. So they showed the footage of like 3 dudes hanging out on the wall. And then they got the note, hey, that's not scary enough. 11,000 are coming, huh? Is that scary? They're not scared yet. 5 million want to. Oh my God, Ecuador's being airlifted into Texas right now.
It's amazing how they can change.
5 million. Five million.
It's amazing how they can contradict themselves in the same segment and people still think that they have any credibility.
Uh-huh.
And the amazing thing is, they'll get hired in the future. by other networks to deliver news. And people pretend like, no, I mean, this person is unbiased, unbiased journalist doing their thing. Anyway, that's beside the point. That was, I don't know. I personally did not like soil myself after watching that video. No, I was not afraid of that.
Once they got to 5 million, it was an emergency in the pants.
Look, and I wish that we could get back to a place where we actually discuss policy and what we need to do regarding immigration reform, what's the best way to move forward. Let's have a debate about that. But Fox doesn't add anything to that conversation. Mm-hmm. It's just, look at the scary people. They jumped the wall. They jumped the wall, and then border security came, and then they had to go back.
Oh, the way it has always been and always will be.
John, I'm so scared.
Well, you want to get to the facts. So we're going to get to the actual facts of this caravan in just a second. I want to know, the 11,000, I don't know where he got that number from that are coming. The caravan was down to like 3,000 people, and it's 1,300 miles away. But they still want you to be scared about it. For context, with those 3,000, I have read that at the El Paso border crossing, there are 18,000 crossings every single day at that one particular part. But they're going to try to scare you to thinking that those 3,000 people along the entirety of our border are an invasion force. And if that's not scary enough, every single brown person in the world's coming. That said, why don't we turn to something a little bit more significant? Fox News wants you to be scared of the caravan. That's what all of their talk about it is designed to do. They don't want you to think about the actual people who are in this caravan, why they're there, what they're fleeing, what their actual life experience has been. Well, unfortunately for them, that's what we're going to talk about now, because a particular subset of the caravan has actually made it near to the border already, thanks to some advocacy groups. This is a particular group of 80 LGBTQ members of that original caravan. And with support from an LGBTQ advocacy organization, this group of about 80 mostly LGBTQ people split off from the rest of the group after experiencing discrimination. That is both from the communities along the way and from fellow travelers in that caravan. And, you know, in the abstract, you might not really know what it's like to be an LGBTQ person from these countries fleeing, being a part of the caravan. So let's talk about some specifics. Honduran migrant Cesar Meja explained, "Whenever we arrived at a stopping point, the LGBT community was the last to be taken into account in every way. So our goal was to change that and say, this time we are going to be first. That mistreatment reportedly included being denied food and access to showers, even by local groups providing aid to others in the caravan." And so that experience is what led to them working with these advocacy groups to bus ahead, because most of the caravan is still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Advocacy groups reached out to them after they arrived in Mexico to help them with that. Loli Mendez, a trans woman and cosmetologist, said she had been assaulted and robbed by a gang back in El Salvador. She also spoke of a friend who was strangled and thrown off a bridge. And Keisha Catalea, a 24-year-old trans woman from Honduras, spoke of being doused with gas and set aflame in 2015. She explained that gangs often force trans people to sell drugs and prostitute themselves. So that is just two of the 80 people who are there at the border. If Fox News does begin talking about this caravan again, I would like to ask you the serious question. Do you believe that they will actually talk about the life experiences of any of the people there? Why they're actually trying to come to America? What they are actually fleeing from? In some cases, it is extremely dark.
Of course, they're not going to get into any of the details about who these people are and why they're really coming here. It's very similar to what happened during the Syrian refugee debate during the Obama administration. These are civilians in Syria who are fleeing a war in their own country, a war in which, you know, Assad was specifically targeting civilians with the help of the Russian government. And the conversation that we had here in the United States was, they're terrorists. The question is, how much terrorism would they commit if they were here in the US? Like, they were framed as terrorists from the get-go. So there is no sympathy or empathy coming from people like the hosts at Fox News or the producers at Fox News. But to go into the trans or LGBT part of this. Look, we don't offer real protections for the trans community here in the United States. Those stories are persuasive to us because we care about people, period, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity. But here in the US, I mean, we have not made nearly enough progress in just simply protecting the trans community.
Yeah.
I mean, the trans community is met with unfathomable violence here in the US. Many of them are beaten, murdered. They're not offered the same civil rights protections that others are in the US. So it sucks because I hear those stories and my heart goes out to them and I feel terrible for them. But we have our own, you know, issues to deal with when it comes to how we treat the trans community. We really need to reflect on, you know, how barbaric we are when it comes to certain groups of people that we don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, and so Fox News isn't going to have that conversation, but if you are someone who is thinking about this, you have to ask yourself, do you want to live in a country where we send those women back to potentially be killed or forced into prostitution, or do you want to be a country that welcomes them and is enhanced and strengthened through, like think about it, these are people who are so strong, they're able to escape that situation, flee for thousands of miles while being discriminated along the way at every step. Wouldn't you want people with that sort of determination and strength and will to be a part of your country? That is what has made America strong, is that constant influx of people who are better than us. But Fox and Friends obviously doesn't see it that way. Okay, with that said, we only have a couple of minutes, but do you want to do this one just because you said you would disagree with me?
I do want to do it, but before, I actually want to do two things. First, there was a breaking news story that I wanted to just give you guys a quick update on since we had reported on it yesterday. So, the First Lady, Melania Trump, had called for the firing of Deputy National Security Advisor Mira Ricardel. And it appears that today she will be transitioned into another part of the Trump administration. It's unclear what this transition really means. Where will she work? What will she do? But as of now, it has been reported by the White House that Ricardel will no longer serve as the Deputy National Security Advisor. Now, there were allegedly some confrontations and some conflict between Ricardel and Melania Trump during her recent trip to Africa. We don't know too many details about what that conflict was really about. What we do know is it had to do with whether or not national security advisors would be flying on the plane with Melania Trump on the way to Africa. I guess Melania Trump did not want that to happen, so there was some disagreement there. And something about paying for the security necessary for her to take that trip.
Yeah.
It's crazy to know that the First Lady can just simply force someone to transition to another position within the White House or within the executive branch simply because she didn't get along with her or didn't like her.
Yeah. Our tax dollars are for their fun.
I guess so.
And how dare you stop that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So quick update there.
Yeah, okay, so I'm gonna be jumping ahead. So if you guys could get video 5 ready, we're gonna just do that very quickly because I did promo it early in this hour. The self-driving car service Waymo will actually be launching its first usable car service. There are some significant limitations initially, but starting next month, it will begin to be expanded to more areas and it will be competing with Uber and Lyft. Again, totally driverless cars, as you'll see in this promo video.
Day one of self-driving, are you ready? Go.
Oh, this is weird.
This is the future.
Yeah, she was like, is there no one driving that car?
I knew it. I was waiting for it.
Wasn't someone driving this car.
Yo, car.
Selfie.
Thank you, car.
Yeah, thank you, car.
Okay, so initially it's just going to be available in the Phoenix area. That's where they've been testing it the most. And it will only be available to people in an already exclusive group. But that will be rolled out and they will be operating driverless cars with people riding in them.
Why are you so excited about this?
So I am excited, obviously, because I think that obviously driverless cars are the future for a number of different reasons. But I am also very scared because I know how humans work. If there is any problem, if there is one issue, people are going to be like, oh, there's never been a car accident before. Now the computers are crashing. Mm-hmm. And we will exaggerate any issue whatsoever. And it might turn off people to this obvious beneficial change that will eventually be standard across all cars.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about driverless cars. I always have from the get-go. Mm-hmm. I'm always fascinated by your support because you go out of your way to avoid any and all commutes. Mm-hmm. Like you can walk to work if you really wanted to. Uh-huh. If anyone would benefit from this, it would be me, and I don't know how I feel about it. I have more negative feelings toward it than positive. Because, I just feel like everyone's getting so lazy. We just want computers to do it.
It's not about laziness.
It is. It is.
No,
I think
it is. Not.
It is. We're all so lazy. Like, we want someone to do our
that
groceries
is number
for
seven.
Us. We want someone, like, we want a computer to drive us around. I don't want a computer to drive me around. I'll drive my own damn car. And also, mm-hmm. I don't want Grandma Kasparian over here. I'm being a grandma. But here's the heart of what I don't like about this. And I know that this is controlled by two different things. I don't want more cars on the road. I want more of a push toward public transportation.
This could reduce the number of cars on the road.
How?
Actually. Because if you have services like that are super automated, you can have one car servicing multiple people rather than like my car. Mm-hmm. I'm the only one that gets to use my car. You could instead have a car that's not owned by an individual person that's just driving around helping out tons of people.
I totally get that. But is that really going to be the affordable way if you have, let's say, a long commute to work, right? So you're going to pay for every single ride to work every single day?
So let's assume that what I just said is totally wrong. And best case scenario, it's one person, one car. There are still major reasons to prefer this. As more and more cars go driverless and are able to communicate with each other, driving will become much more efficient. You'll have people will be able to go at more constant, faster speeds. There will be less crashes. Your commute will actually be shorter because there will be less traffic. And as a consequence of less traffic, less crashes, I should say, you're going to have less property damage. So you won't be able to have to repair your car nearly as much. And I don't know if you know this, but lots of people die because of human-driven cars. It's like 35 or 36,000 people last year, I think it is. We can drastically get that down by having computers do it. So we're talking about something that could potentially save tens of thousands of lives a year.
Okay, fine, whatever. That's my response to that.
Waymo,
Waymo, it's great, whatever.
We're not being sponsored by Waymo or something.
We're not. I don't have the same level of trust in computers as you do.
I'm worried. Like, this is the first thing. I don't know. They might have problems. Mm-hmm. I don't have 100% trust.
And I don't trust humans either. So I don't know how
humans
I feel about all this.
Humans are terrible at driving. First of all, people say, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about mostly Bart, actually, in the control room. They're like, it's either you have a computer driving the car or you have a person driving the car. But that is very much like a 1990s sort of thing. That's not the situation we have right now. Right now, you could have a computer driving a car or a person looking at their phone driving the car, which is not as good as a person driving a car, I've found. If you're on a computer, but you're just looking down at it, why not put the computer in charge of everything? And then you can play Candy Crush or, you know, do your Tinders or whatever you want to do. You can read a book. You can take a nap.
Okay, fine. I'm excited about the driverless cars. You've convinced me.
We got her, Waymo.
Yeah, I didn't really have good arguments. I acknowledge that. So.
Anna Kasparian crushed by pro self-driving car advocate. That's what the video is going to be.
And for one of the first times ever, that would be an accurate title on YouTube.
Okay. All right. That said, that's the end of the first hour.
Thank you, John. Yeah. John did a great job hosting, leading the show.
TYT.com/John.
Mm-hmm. Or TYT.com/Anna. Mm-hmm. But although, like, I love John, so
So how about just for today? Mm-hmm. How about 10 of you go to TYT.com/John, click on the button, become a member. It's not gonna bother Anna, because Anna's awesome. Oh, it's gonna burn, Cenk. When he looks at those numbers, come on, be a part of the burn.
I just want the two of us to beat Cenk, like, simultaneously. But I also want to beat you, so let's.
You're like triple me right now. You're gonna be fine.
You never know.
Yeah, we'll see.
You might be clutch. That's what they say in sports when someone delivers in the end.
I can't guarantee that.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Okay. All right. We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, a whole new panel for you. Don't miss it.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.